So, Bradley, what's your opinion of the Blessed Virgin? This is the very first sentence I remember Jeanette Sullivan speaking to me. You see, Jeanette became one of my grandmas when I married her granddaughter Megan 15 years ago. I was aware that Megan's family was Catholic on the Sullivan side. I was also aware that their matriarch on the Sullivan side, Jeanette, was revered by all who knew her. You needed her approval or you were not in. So when I, a Protestant, United Methodist, religious studies major on his way towards getting a master's of divinity, sat down next to this magnetic, charismatic, gentle smile in her comfy chair, I had no idea that this is where our relationship would start. So, Bradley, what's your opinion of the Blessed Virgin? I had no idea at the time that she was a founding member of the Marianist affiliates in Pueblo. I had no idea that Mary was her go-to for all things intercessory. All I knew is that my girlfriend's grandma sat there waiting for an answer. I think she's a really great lady, I replied. And I sat there for what felt like an infinite but no more than 2 second pause, waiting to hear her response. I do too, she said as she gently patted my knee. Okay. As we continue our journey toward Bethlehem and the manger of Christmas, today we get to hear a bit about that experience from Mary. Our first introduction to Mary is her response to the angel that appears with God's invitation for her to be the bearer of the divine presence. And though she does have a couple logistical, if not biological, questions for the angel, she responds faithfully with a willingness. I am the Lord's servant. Let it be as God has said. And then she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who is not a stranger to this whole angel showing up, now you're having a baby thing. In fact, Elizabeth is expecting a child who will become John the Baptist. Jesus and John were second cousins in a way. And Elizabeth and Mary sit and they reflect together on the wonder of their current realities. And Mary once again offers us a glimpse into her faithfulness. She utters words that are known today as the Magnificat. Magnificat is a blending of the two Latin words for my soul, which are the opening words of her prayer, her poetic profession of faith. Now, the words that she offers are not solely her own. In fact, she is echoing Hannah, a woman in the Hebrew Bible. You see, Hannah's son Samuel would play his own part in guiding God's people, and Hannah was who brought him forth into the world. The words Samuel's mother Hannah spoke, recorded in the book of 1 Samuel, her responding to God's work in her life, were words that Mary would have heard read throughout her upbringing. She would have known these words. In fact, Hannah was one of the heroines of the scriptures a young Jewish girl would have gravitated toward. And it's probably a story she turned to herself once she knew she was expecting. And so Mary takes the words of Hannah and expounds upon them. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For God has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is God's name. God's mercy is for those who fear God from generation to generation. God has shown strength with the divine arm, scattered the proud in the thoughts of their own hearts. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things. God has sent away the rich with no more. God has helped the servant Israel in remembrance of God's promise. For according to the promise made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever, my soul magnifies the Lord. You see, my kids and I, we play with magnifying glasses. It's totally for them. And when we're playing with magnifying glasses, I just find it amazing how something that appears small begins to expand and increase, showing its beautiful detail. When something is magnified, we see what we didn't see before. And this is a powerful way to consider our role as people. That it's our role to expand upon the divine placed within us. It's our role to increase God's love for all people. It's our job to show all of this splendor through our living, that we might magnify what God is doing, that we might respond as Mary did at God's invitation to be a part of the arrival of hope and peace and love, to respond with a desire to magnify what God is doing. For if we all were truly to magnify such hope and peace and love, that would truly bring forth a world in which all is calm and all is bright. Calm and bright. These are funny words to associate with this time of year. Calm and bright. I mean, it's the darkest week of the year. The solstice is coming on Saturday. To think of this time of year as bright is to defy the realities around us. But that is exactly what Christmas is meant to do. Christmas is meant to defy the realities around us, to defy brokenness with hope, to defy conflict with peace, to defy indifference with love. Christmas has always been about offering an alternative view of what the world can be. For just like we saw with Mary at Christmas, the mundane becomes sacred. The lowly are lifted up, and dark becomes light. Not just in Scripture, but within each of us. This is one of the roles that Mary plays in our Christmas story. It's easy when you know the whole story to just assume, oh, yep, she's going to give birth to Jesus, she's kind of a big deal, and we know that from the get-go. But at the beginning of the story, Mary's just some lady. Mary's just a young Jewish girl going about her day. She is us, and we are her. I mean, we're just people. We're just people this Advent season, and we're just going about our days, and God shows up and is asking us to offer an alternative view of what the world can be, to magnify the hope and peace and love. That our living might defy the brokenness and the conflict and the indifference. That we might bring something sacred into the world through our living. The light of God's love. All is calm. All is bright. They really are funny words to associate with this time of year. Calm and bright. I don't know about you, but if you take a look at my Amazon shopping history, my calendar, and my to-do list, you will find that things are far from calm. But the juxtaposition of calm and Christmas carries great meaning. And it actually makes me think of Megan's grandma again. You see, the Sullivan family tradition was to celebrate Christmas at Jeanette's house in Pueblo. This is the same little 1,900-square-foot converted carriage house that she called home and raised her 10 children in. Megan's aunts and uncles, if you ever ask them, were you born in a barn? They literally respond, yes. Well, see, she and her husband and her 10 children, and then those children would come home for the holiday, and over time, those 10 children would bring their children, her grandchildren, and eventually those grandchildren started bringing home boyfriends. That would be me. And here we are, all filled in this little home, everyone, everywhere. It was chaos. It was pandemonium. And while it was the antithesis of calm, it was also completely Christmas. I think about our Christmas story. I mean, Mary is pregnant. Mary is pregnant and traveling. Mary is pregnant and traveling on a donkey. And when they finally get where they're going, there is no place to stay. She ends up in a stable-esque kind of place surrounded by animals and hay and people she doesn't know. And then she has a baby and more people she doesn't know show up. Oh, good, the shepherds are here. Let me just clean up a little bit. It is chaos. It is pandemonium. And while it is the antithesis of calm, it is also completely Christmas. It's our Christmas story. What we find is that Mary is offering us an example that all is calm is not limited by what's happening in the world around us. All is calm is defined by the Spirit within us. That breath of heaven the choir sang so beautifully of. We are invited to calm ourselves, even when we can't calm the world. And the light of that third Advent candle offers us a reminder and an encouragement of how we might do so. We are invited to magnify God's love. To know ourselves as loved is to find a centering balance regardless of circumstance. To know, to really know that we are loved perfectly, completely, infinitely. To know that love is to find a depth of calm that cannot be unsettled. How much of our worry, what extent of our anxiety could be calmed by a true understanding of how loved we are, how we are loved exactly as we are. We need not perform. We need not accomplish. We need not impress. We need only receive the love that God offers at Christmas and every day. And as we magnify that love, the world too will find a sense of calm that defies the chaos. All is calm. All is bright. It's not calm and bright within us because of the world. In fact, it is calm and bright in the world because what of God is doing through us. Our souls magnify the Lord. Our spirits rejoice in God, our Savior, for God has looked with love upon each of us. Amen.